Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
I have a joke. I have a 30-minute message and I have a joke. So you want to hear this joke? It is a blonde joke. So the blondes in the house, I'm blonde. Well, sort of, you know. You can't get mad at me, but... So you want to hear it? Okay. So I hope I don't mess this up. All right. So there was... two blondes. One was driving and she was speeding and she got pulled over by a blonde highway patrol woman. And so the blonde in the car rolls her windows down and the highway patrol woman says, yeah, give me your driver's license. So she takes her purse, the black hole, and she cannot find her driver's license. She goes, oh, I forgot. Well, I can't find my driver's license. And she says, come on, lady. She says, it's a little rectangle thing. It's got a picture of you on it. So she grabs what she sees. She looks in there and she sees herself and she grabs this little mirror. It's a little rectangle mirror and she hands it over to the blonde highway patrolman. And the blonde highway patrolman, she takes it. She looks at it and she says, well, I didn't know you were a highway patrolwoman. Did you get it? Takes a while. Okay, let the penny drop. Okay. So if you're a highway patrol blonde, I'm sorry. It's just a little joke. It's laughter's medicine. You know, it is a race, the blondes. That is prejudice, and that is, you know, not politically correct to tell blonde jokes. But I'm a blonde, so I don't care. Actually, I've never heard anybody really fuss about blonde jokes. Pastor Sue did such a great job. It was so expansive on friendship and why we don't make friends. And I took these 5 pages of notes, and I wanted to just jump off of that because it's such a big topic. And she alluded to a message that Dr. Vanessa had taught on friendship, and I have her notes. So I talked to Jess and I said, I want you to put me on a leash 30 minutes so that you guys don't get restless and so we can get to the groups. Because the reason we called it girlfriends and the reason it was Club 31 and, oh my gosh, for 20 years, whatever it is we did, but we wanted girls to meet each other. And we knew that if we could just connect you, that you would find your best friends and that you would find the love of God in each other and that you would be strong and you're better together than you are apart. We are better together than we are apart. And women historically have not liked each other and have been in the old nature manipulative and jealous, but in the new nature, we are sisterhood and we are strong in the Lord and with each other. And there isn't competition and there's not jealousy. And there is many races in this room and there's many seasons of life in this room, and it doesn't matter whether you're young or old. The only time it matters if you're young or old is when we have these lines. Okay, this matters. And when you're over 55 and you've got to hear and you've got to repeat it, you might want to give that line a little bit longer than the young girl's line, okay? That's all I have to say about that. So this morning, I want to look at covenant friendships. And the word covenant is the word... In the Latin, it's testamentum, and it's actually transliterated into testament. And that's what this is new covenant and old covenant, new testament, old testament. So covenant is a word you and I don't use, and yet it's a word that is absolutely, completely in and about this book, Blood Covenant. And I want to just talk really quickly about what a blood covenant is, because that's 6 messages on it on themselves. But the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant were cut in blood. And the word covenant in the Hebrew is berith, and it means to cut. It means to cut in half for pledge for covenant. And what it is there are 8 signs of a blood covenant. And the blood covenant is the strongest, most binding agreement known to mankind. There is no contract, there is no allegiance, there is no constitution, there is no commitment stronger than blood covenant. Because that covenant, that agreement, has gone through a ceremony and a system of steps. And there's 8 steps. Now, we're not going to go into the 8 steps today, but we're going to just look at 3, which is the first is going to be actually signs, then there's going to be sacrifice, and then there's going to be oath. And this all has to do with friendship and covenant. And so God cut covenant with us. He is the one that decided, and he chose us in his love to cut a blood covenant with. And he started with a man named Abraham, and it goes all the way through the Old Testament. And Jesus at the memorial meal said, this is the new covenant in my blood. And what he was saying is that God and Jesus were going to cut. There was going to be a sacrifice. There was going to be an agreement. And it wasn't going to be messed up by the decisions and the will of man. It was going to be between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that man could not screw this up and he could not break covenant, because God doesn't break covenant. God is loyal and he's a strong defense, and his word does not return void. And what God says, he will do. He does not violate his covenant. When he says it, he will do it, and it's backed in his own blood. So looking at that, I wanted to look at this morning four things about a blood covenant friendship. And I think we're going to look at this looking at two men. They're not women. We could use Ruth and Naomi, but I wanted to use Jonathan and David because Jonathan so clearly cut a covenant with David, and you can see it. But I want to just go over just a few things that Pastor Sue had said and Dr. Vanessa had given, and I wrote your notes down a long time ago, and that is about friendship. And I'm going to use this verse in John chapter 13, verse 34. It said, a new commandment I give to you. Remember, he's cutting a new covenant, the covenant meal. A new commandment. There's a new commandment. There's a new issue of ordinances because I'm cutting a blood covenant with you. It's not going to be the old covenant of Israel. There's going to be a brand new covenant. I'm going to the cross. He's having this last meal with his disciples. And he said, this new commandment I give to you, that you would love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And we've just studied the love of God, and we've seen that. And so as we go into this, we see that, number one, friends are essential. They're not optional. We are not made to do life alone. As much as we'd like to, we're not made to do that. We are not an island to ourselves. God has called us to have friends and to be a community and to be a family and to be in blood covenant with each other as the church. Number two, friends must be cultivated. It's not automatic. It's not going to just happen. You're not just going to have friends. You have to work at being a friend. I have to work at having a friend. I have to work at it. A man who has friends, in Proverbs 18:24, must himself be friendly. Number three, friends impact our lives. They're not neutral. They're either good or they're bad. And Proverbs 12:26, and we talked about this in the panel, the righteous should choose their friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. In other words, what you fellowship with is what you're going to become. So the friends that you pick and the friends that you do life with will determine who you are, because they rub off on you. So God's giving us a warning, and he's going to show us what a blood covenant friendship is, because this is so important. It's important to him, and it's important to us. And I believe at The Rock that God has cut covenant with us through the new creation and the new birth. And now he wants us to cut covenant with each other and understand what this koinonia, what this amazing fellowship of the believers is, as we learn how to love each other and be girlfriends together at whatever stage of life we're at. So looking at that, let's just quickly look at Jonathan and David. And I'm just going to give you four things in the next 20 minutes. This is going to be a miracle, but we're going to do this. If you've got your Bibles, let's go to 1 Samuel. David has just killed Goliath. How many of you don't know who David is in the Old Testament? Does anybody not know? He is going to be the king after Saul. Saul is the first king. Saul has several sons, but Jonathan is the heir apparent to the throne. And Jonathan is his son. Jonathan is quite a man. He's an amazing young man. And he has on the kingly robes, and he will be the next king after Saul if Saul's dynasty would continue. And so David has just killed Goliath. He's just had an amazing, incredible event take place. Israel has just vanquished their enemies, the Philistines. And we see in chapter 18, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, I want to make sure that you're clear about this. This is not two men loving each other in a gay relationship. This is blood covenant. That's all. They had wives, they had family, they were not in a homosexual relationship, and I do want to make that perfectly clear. They were under covenant, they were Jews, they had the sign of the covenant on them, they were circumcised, and they were not gay men. All right? Okay. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. So David now went to the palace permanently. He was still watching his father's sheep. He's a very young man. He's probably around 18 years old. He's just taken out the giant. Saul, as the king of Israel, he's the first king. He has just completely been enamored with David. Jonathan has fallen in love with David. And it says in verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So I want to look at this. By giving these things to David, he's beginning to say to David, these are the signs of the covenant that I'm going to cut with you. I'm going to give you my robe, I'm going to give you my armor, and I'm going to give you my weapon. So number one, in a covenant friendship, we see very clearly that a covenant friendship, as Jonathan models it to us, the first point in this is that covenant friendship, number one, will involve sacrifice. It's not going to be about being self-centered, it's going to be about being God-centered, which is to give. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The root of agape love, the very character of God himself, is the generosity and the loving, giving nature of God, that God gives. And if I'm going to have a blood covenant relationship with you, if I'm going to be a friend to you, as the Lord would have me be a friend to you, I am going to have to realize it's not about me, it's about you. I'm going to have to learn how to begin to sacrifice of the things in my life and sacrifice me if I want to have a blood covenant friendship that will be pleasing to the Lord. And we see this because Jonathan takes off his robe. Now, this is an amazing thing because Jonathan was heir apparent. That robe was the robe of a king. And Jonathan, when he takes that robe off and he gives it to David, who is nothing, he doesn't know, Saul does not know that Samuel has anointed David to be king over Israel when David was just a young boy. And David is not trying to be king. He's just trying to follow God. But when Jonathan takes off that kingly robe and gives it to David, he is signifying, David, you will be the king of Israel. I won't, you will. And I am willing not to have my own ambitions, but I want the will of God, and I want what God wants, and you will be king. When he takes off his armor, that armor protected Jonathan. When Jonathan gives that armor to David, he's saying, what protects me will now protect you. My armor and what kept me safe will now keep you safe. When he took off his weapons, he is now saying in blood covenant, my enemies, my weapons, which are for enemies, your enemies will become my enemies. And I will fight with you and I will fight for you. And we will be a twofold cord with God as a threefold cord, like Sue preached last time. And together we will vanquish and we will be stronger together than we are apart. So the robe signifies identity, the armor signifies protection, and the weapons signify that your enemies are now my enemies and we will be in covenant together when we wage war against the enemies of Almighty God. And that's what it is when I'm in blood covenant with you, when I need a prayer request, when I've got something and there's something going on in my life, I need to go to a girl I know it doesn't have issues about me, whether I'm a pastor or I'm not a pastor, whether I've got this or I don't have that, whether I've got a great husband, a terrible husband, whether I'm rich or I'm poor, because we're going to see that in part two, because jealousy can get into friendships. But in blood covenant friendships, jealousy has no place and you don't allow it. Because it's not about us, it's about God. It's about God joining us to himself and joining us to each other. And something miraculous happens in unity and the power is released. And suddenly what you couldn't do, you can do because two are better than one. So the first thing is sacrifice, generosity. We're gonna have to not have issues. Number two, a blood covenant friend is a loyal defense. What does that mean, a loyal defense? A friend who is loyal when you're not around, because you are what people say you are when you're not around. You know, people can say one thing to your face. Have you ever experienced this? They say one thing to your face, but another thing when you're not there. You see, a real blood covenant friend, whether you're there or you're not there, you know that person, if you have enemies, if there's people trying, if darkness is trying to pull you down or smear you, you know that blood covenant friend will be a loyal defense in your behalf if you're not there. And that's important to know, that she doesn't throw you under the bus, that your husband doesn't throw you under the bus, because marriage is a blood covenant. This pertains to marriage, that your secrets are safe, that you are a loyal defense. Now let's look at that in 1 Samuel chapter 19. So we've moved on. David and Jonathan are their friends. All of a sudden, something has happened, and Saul is beginning to get jealous because as David's in the palace, and as Saul begins to send him out to war, and David behaves himself wisely in the house of the king, God's favor is on David and protects David, and David is winning these amazing battles. So as David is coming back, the women come out, and they sing, and they have their tambourines, and I mean, David is a hunk. He's gorgeous. He has songs that he writes. I mean, this man is gifted. This man can write songs. He's a poet. He's got a beautiful voice. He can play his instrument. He's a warrior. I mean, where is it? Who sees a man like this? And the women are coming out and they're singing and they're saying, Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000s. And Saul eyes David with the green eye of jealousy and he gets jealous. And from that moment on, Saul begins to pursue David to destroy him. And this is what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 19. If you'll go there with me, let's look at verses 1 through 7. Now Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, my father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning and stay in a secret place and hide. And I will go out and I'll stand beside my father in the field where you are. And I will speak with my father and tell you what I observe, and I'll tell you. And Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, chapter 19, verse 4. And then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul. Remember, Saul wants to kill David. He wants to destroy him. He wants to take him out. Because Saul is not moving in the spirit. He's moving in the flesh. He's jealous. The green-eyed, jealous monster has come out in this man. He has lost his kingdom. Samuel has already prophesied to him that he's lost the kingdom, and he's afraid he will not serve God. He will not obey God. And now he's after the one that he believes God is going to put on the throne. And here's his own son, his own flesh and blood that should be the king, now loving David and cutting a blood covenant with him. And so Jonathan has the guts, because Saul is a head taller than everybody else and he's a warrior. Jonathan has the guts to stand up to his dad. Now listen, a loyal defense means that you stand up when it's hard to stand up. You stand up to people that intimidate you about your friend. You stand up to the forces of darkness that want to tell you this and tell you that about your friend and about this church or about your sisters in the Lord. You and I begin to stand up like Jonathan, and we're not intimidated by the powers that are in front of us that are hissing and saying the things that they're saying about what we know we should love and respect and be a friend to. Are you with me? If we would be committed to each other, if we would not allow gossip, and we would not allow these words to be spoken, and if we wouldn't whisper these things in secret, and we would just be this committed, loyal defense of the women of God, and the women of God in this church, and the pastors of this church, and the leaders of this church, and the sons of this church, then we would believe the best, and we would be a loyal defense as blood covenant friends. But look, he says to his father, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he's not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good towards you. For he took his life in his hands, and he killed the Philistine. And the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it, and you rejoiced. He reminds Saul, remember, Dad, come on. You want to kill him, but without him, we'd all be dead. Dad, what are you doing? You saw it, and you rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without cause? So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be killed. Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these things. So Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. When your friend, when you're a blood covenant friend, and you're a loyal defense, then you bring people together. You don't tear them apart. You are able to breach and to heal breaches, and you're able to take your friend. We've got a dear friend of ours. I won't tell you who he is, and he's a pastor. If I told him his name, you'd know him. And there was a breach in our ministry, and there was a breach in our family, in a close relationship. And do you know that he worked very hard to get that breach healed? Behind our back, we didn't even know it. He was a loyal defense, and that breach was healed completely. And it's just water under the bridge now, and the blood has cleansed everything, and everybody's back where they should be and doing what they should be doing. But it was because we had a loyal friend, a blood covenant friend, and he did this when we didn't even know it. he was making these phone calls and visiting these people and doing all these things because we had been wronged. And he took this breach, and because he was a loyal defense, he healed it. Just like Jonathan was able to take David for a season of time. Now, Saul's not going to stand or stick to what he says. But because of Jonathan, David could get back in that palace. So if I'm going to be a blood covenant friend, then I'm going to be a loyal defense, regardless of what's intimidating or what's lying or what's being said. And jealousy will have no part of my life. It can't. I mean, what if Jonathan would have said, Dad, you're right. You know, he's trying to take the throne, and let's just kill him now. David would have been dead. But Jonathan was willing to be a covenant friend and to say, I don't need to be king. If it's God's will for you to be king, you be king, and I'll be by your side. See, he didn't have his own agenda. If we're really going to be these amazing women and friends and wives and moms and grandmas, and if we're going to survive this world and actually bring the kingdom to it, then in our lives, we are going to have the ability, because God gives us the grace to do this. This is his will for us. We're going to be breach restorers. We're going to be repairers, it says in Isaiah 58, of the breach. We're going to be able to bring our families back together. We're going to be able to help marriages get healed. We're going to be the ones that make sure that our marriages don't fall apart because we're in blood covenant. Whether you like your husband or you don't has not one thing to do with whether you're in blood covenant with him. Because there'll be times when you don't like that man and he doesn't like you. But guess what? Marriage is not just a ceremony. Marriage is a life process through seasons of time, good and bad. And there's good seasons and there's hard seasons. But it's still a marriage and a blood covenant, like a friendship. You know, I watched my daughter Jess, and I've watched her with Robin. And I remember when Robin and Jess were just a kids. Robin was playing softball, and so was Jess. And Robin had come over every day, or Jess would go over to her house. They were just kids. They were junior high kids. They were sixth graders in junior high, then high school. They graduated. And Jess introduced Robin to Jess's best friend, but she waited until he got right with God, and now he became her husband. They're blood covenant friends. It's a friendship that has been since they were little kids, like Jonathan and David. Wouldn't you love to have a friend like that? Wouldn't you love to have somebody that you can so trust with your secrets and everything that it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime. It's a blood covenant lifetime. That's the will of God for us. We don't have to have a lot of friends. But if we have one or two. My husband is my blood covenant best friend. There is no one else that will ever take his place. That's his place in my life. But he's not a girl. He does not always get me. And I am not a man, and I definitely do not always get him. And we need women. I need the girls in my life. Maybe you've got all boys in your life, and you know what? You're suffering from testosterone overload. You need a woman. You need girlfriends. You need estrogen. That's all you need, darling. You'll be fine. You just need a good shopping trip to downtown LA. You just need a good recipe. If you guys are getting chunky like I am, you know, you just need to go on some of these great diets. I've just discovered the, you know, low carb. And I just went to Clark's and bought all of this flour and all this stuff that has low carbs and made all this desserts. And I ate it all myself because it was so bad nobody else would eat it. A loyal defense, not jealous. Jealousy will keep what you release and lose what you try to hang on to. There was a great man of God, and he was a martyr for the Lord and with the Aka Indians. And he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jonathan knew David was called to be king, not him. And he was a loyal defense in the face of harsh judgments. Number three, safe. A blood covenant friend is safe. You are safe to be who you are, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether you're having a bright, perky day or whether you are down, so down that somebody's got to pull you back up. You don't have to explain your actions. You can just be you. A blood covenant friend is safe, and you can bleed all over them, and they don't seem to mind. They're not germophobic. Go ahead, bleed all over me. 1 Samuel 20:41. Now Saul has gotten his horrible temper back, and he's tried to kill David again. And now David knows that this isn't going to work, and he's got to run. And Jonathan's warning him once again, and so they hatch a scheme. And in the court, because it was dangerous, I mean, we're talking about life and death. Saul is so crazy that he threw a javelin to try to kill his own son. He's tried to kill David several times in the court where you eat. So Jonathan says, David, you're not safe here. So go. I want you to hide 3 days in the field, and I'm going to talk to my dad and see where he's at with you, what he's really feeling. And David, I'm going to let you know. And David says, how are you going to let me know? He says, I'll come out with my bow and my arrow and a lad, and I'll shoot 3 arrows, and I'll tell that lad to go get those arrows if things are okay. But if I shoot those arrows past where he is and where he can go and he has to run, I'll say, run and get the arrows. You'll know you've got to run for your life because my father's going to kill you. And so as they live out this idea and this plan, and David hides, Jonathan now has found out that his dad is going to kill David, that there's no recourse. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 41, as soon as the lad had gone, because he's got to shoot those arrows far away, and David knows now that he's got to run. And this is the beginning of David running for his life from Saul for the next 13 or so years. He was 30 when he became king. So we know that this is a very long time. So David is beside himself. His heart's broken. He loves Jonathan, and Jonathan loves him. David loves Saul. He doesn't want to run from Saul, but Saul wants to kill him because of jealousy. So as soon as the lad had gone, David arose from a place towards the south, fell on his face to the ground, and he bowed down 3 times. And they kissed one another, and they wept, but David more so. David's heart is broken. I said that you're safe. David was a mess, snotting and crying, and his heart is broken. You can bleed all over a blood covenant friend because you're safe with him. Regardless of what the price to the person, they are loyal and will accept what and where you are, the good and the ugly. 1 Samuel 20, in that chapter, verse 31 and 32. Saul said, for as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established nor your kingdom. Now therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, why should he be killed? What has he done? Again, the loyal covenant love of a friend that first and foremost is sacrificial. Don't have your own agenda. You're not going to do the jealousy thing. Yeah, my girlfriend, she's richer. She's got a better husband. At least I think she's got a better husband, because you know what you think and what really is are two separate things. It's easy to judge. The grass looks greener on the other side, girls. First and foremost, generous, sacrificial. Second, a loyal defense. Number third, safe. A blood covenant friend that is safe will let you cry, but will not let you stay in the dirt. You can be who you are, and you can be what you are right now, but I'm not going to let you stay there. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you escape. We've hatched this plan. You're going to live, and you're not going to die, and you're going to be king. We're not going to be together, but you will be king, and you will not die. And I'm not going to let you stay as depressed. And I mean, David was ready to die, and Jonathan said no. Then Jonathan, verse 42, said to David, go in peace. Since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord go between you and me. I mean, these two men are broken. They're broken. They loved each other as men love each other. As only men can fight wars together and be in a foxhole together. Well, women can too, but I don't know a lot of girls that have done that. In the Old Testament, they were in the trenches. In the Old Testament, they had each other's back with the swords. In hand-to-hand combat, you better trust the man next to you, because he could be responsible for your death. These were covenant men, and they were brokenhearted. And he says, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord. May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever. I believe blood covenant friendships go beyond the first generation, that they'll go on to the next generation and the next generation after that. Because Proverbs says, do not forsake the friend of your father, nor your own friend in the day of trouble, for a friend near is better than a brother far away. In other words, there's relationships. There's divine relationships that God hooks together. There's partnerships and teams. Listen, God's putting together a team here. He put together a team when Jim and I pastored this church as senior pastors. And as we started, God began to bring people to the team. And there was covenant relationships. And there were things that flourished and flowed. When Mike and Sue came and they were added to the team, our children's ministry changed completely. And everything flourished under them. And to this day, it is flourishing because they're phenomenal people and tremendous ministers of the gospel. But it was a covenant. It was a God-ordained relationship. Now, in this God-ordained relationship, there's going to be ups and downs. And when you bleed all over them, they're going to be okay with it. They're not going to let you stay in the dirt. But they're not going to let you stay down. They're going to pick you up. So number one, I know I'm going over these and over these and over these. But listen, number one, it's sacrificial. Jealousy is not involved in this thing. And you know, you don't align yourself with somebody else for your benefit. That is not God. That is the flesh. We align ourselves because God brings us together. And he knows the gifts and the callings in each and every one of us. And you know, have you ever just met somebody and you just instantly love them and you just know you're going to be friends? That's a God appointment. That's a God-ordained friendship. Treasure that. Cultivate that. Work with that. Because these are wonderful relationships that God wants to enrich our lives with. So first and foremost, we're sacrificial. It can't be about our agenda. It's got to be about God's. Number two, we are a loyal defense. We will stand up against the darkness and we will stand up against the enemies. Number three, we're safe. You can be in my space and you can cry all over me. You can be as bad as you've ever been. You can vent. You can do what you need to do. You can cuss. You can kick. You can scream. You can throw your tantrum. And that's fine because I'm your friend and you're safe in my space. And I know you and I know you're hurting, but I'm not going to let you stay there. I'm not going to let you stay in that condition. And the last one, number four, in a covenant friendship. So covenant friends don't let go. They don't let go. They don't forget. It's not just something that you're loyal with each other for a couple of years and then you're gone. How many people have been gone in our lives? Listen, as pastors, people come and go in our lives. We pour ourselves in and people leave. They don't like you. They don't like the church. They don't like your husband. They don't like your kids. They don't like you. I mean, if you want to talk about insecure people, it could be pastors. We're like hairdressers because, you know, if you don't like the way somebody cuts your hair, you're gone. And maybe they never told you they didn't like it. They just never come back. I've often pondered that. If it would be hard to be a hairdresser. Where'd they go? Where'd my customers go? Listen, people come and go. Words are cheap. It takes time to cultivate a friendship that's for life. It takes sacrifice. It takes you willing to be a loyal defense. It takes you willing to be the girl that's safe. That if there's anybody that they can call and tell their secret to, it's not gonna be spread everywhere and they're not gonna judge you, but they're gonna keep it in their heart. They're gonna let you cry, but they're not gonna let you stay there. It's safe. And the last one is they're not gonna let go of you because too many things we let go of too easily. So easy for people to disappear out of your life. Where'd they go? What happened? Well, I guess. But you see, Jonathan wouldn't let go of David. And when David had been running from Saul now for years, and when he was discouraged, he's hiding in the caves, Jonathan goes and finds David. He finds him in the wilderness. And this is what he says in 1 Samuel 23, verses 14 and 16, and I'm done. And David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day. Do you think that would be wearying? Do you think you'd get tired of the fight when you're innocent and there's somebody pursuing you to kill you when you've done nothing wrong? Some of you are in such a fight right now. You're in such a battle. You're in a battle for your lives, for your children, for your marriages. You're in a battle right now, and it's like there's a Saul that's just pursuing you and wanting to take you out and take you down. But you see, God's got a friend. God's got covenant. And if you don't have a friend, then know that God is your covenant friend right now. And he's not going to let go of you. So if you've not yet nurtured this kind of friendship, then take heart because you're here today. Because if you're yearning for that, that's what this is all about right here. Right here is to find friends. Right here to learn how to love each other. Right here, not to separate and to judge, but to love and combine and be strong together and not apart. And Jonathan finds him, and David stayed in the strongholds and remained in the mountains. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, the heir apparent, this blows me away, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Covenant friends won't let you go. They'll find you. They'll find you in your hardest place, and they will come, and they will get you. I have a friend, I love her, and she disappeared out of my life because I don't know what happened to her. God spoke to me about her and says, "You go get her, you go find her, you go stay with her, you go find out what's going on. I need you to pray for her." So I spent the next 10 days and I gathered a community of women I could trust that love her too, and we stayed with her and we loved her. Because God's not willing to let go of us. He'll send us out like the dogs if he has to go find each other and say, "Oh no, you're not going to stay there, you're coming back with me. Oh no. I don't care what's happened. I don't care what they've said. I don't care what's been done to you. I don't care what the prognosis is. I don't care. I am not going to let go of you. You are my friend forever, and I will be there for you. If I can't do anything else, I can tell you what you are. David, you're going to be king. You're going to be the king of Israel, David. You may be in this wilderness right now, and I'm going to stand next to you, David. I may be the heir apparent, but that doesn't matter because God's got his agenda, and I'm in on God's agenda. I'm not going to allow myself to be jealous like my father. I'm going to stand with God's covenant and with God's purposes, and I'm going to find you." And Jonathan found David. Listen. I'm sorry. Covenant friends will find you and remind you of God's God-given destiny for your life. They'll bring you to the future when you want to stay in the past. They'll, number one, give and sacrifice for you, and you'll give and sacrifice for them. Number two, they'll be a loyal defense, and you'll be a loyal defense. Number three, you'll be safe. The good, the bad, and the ugly. C.S. Lewis once said the best definition of a friend is when everybody else walks out, a real friend walks in. You'll be safe. And number four, you're not going to let go. No matter what or where or what they do, they go to another church, if they don't do this, if they don't do that, doesn't matter. I'm not letting go of you. I love you. And you're my friend. And you'll be king. And this covenant went so far into the next generations, and that's another story for another time. So I hope you got something out of this morning. God bless you. Pastor Jess.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.